The Old Testament reading for today, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed, that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, just think about that ball python and a puppy. "Oh, I got a ball python. Oh, I got a puppy. Where's the puppy?" And then the snake opens up its mouth, burps, and coughs out a dog collar. Come on, I'm not the only one who thought of that one, right? Okay, it was only the sane people who thought of it. All right, the text for today's message was from the Old Testament prophet Micah. Any parent knows the feeling when you take small kids through a buffet line. You notice parents don't breathe when that happens? They're all just hoping one of the kids doesn't get a plate full of food and drops it right down the back of somebody else. Well, this mother took her three kids through the buffet line at church, and she was really glad, no mishaps, and she sat down with the three kids and went, "Oh, no catastrophes." Little girl says, "Mommy, I can try to find some." You know, life could be exactly like that. How do you deal with those catastrophes? How do you deal with that stress? The context for Micah's message there is that the people were going to face a great distress. We don't have it included in our lesson. Perhaps it should have been. Micah chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Now muster your troops, O Jerusalem, daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek." What Micah is prophesying is about 200 years in advance when the Babylonians come and lay siege to Jerusalem. And we read in that, about that in 2 Kings 25, "They killed the son of King Zedekiah before his eyes. They put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Jerusalem." One of the things that happens to Zedekiah is a slap across the face. It's kind of ironic, you know, a lot of the old movies would have somebody get slapped in the face and everybody laughed. In the Middle East, that is an incredible, humiliating insult. So Micah's telling the people, you are going to be humiliated as a city, and your king's going to be humiliated before everyone. Kind of a bleak future, isn't it? See, I think they didn't include that verse, because this passage is usually read, like today, just before Christmas. Bleak news for the future of Jerusalem. Don't we all have that times when we kind of face that bleak news? See, doctors need to smile when they come in your room when there's good news. But they always come in with a frown. Why is that? See, if they came in with a smile, you would know things are good. But when he comes in, sometimes you get that distressing news. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 begins our Old Testament lesson. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from out of you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So Micah's telling them, it's going to get real bad, but you know what? This ruler is going to be coming out of the little town of Bethlehem. I always love it near election time. You know, if we just get this person in office, and we get this part of the government, and we get the right judges, everything's going to be right. Have you either heard it or said it? We just get this one person elected. It's going to be all better. Really? Come on, y'all. You've heard that? I always love the clowns on the radio. This is the most pivotal election in my entire lifetime. Wait a minute, you said that 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago. On and on. People sometimes put their trust in rulers. But out of Bethlehem is going to come the ruler who is from of old. Bethlehem was so small that in various places in the Old Testament, back in Joshua and in Numbers, when all the towns of Judah are listed, Bethlehem is so small, it doesn't count. All right? Bethlehem was a very small town. They figure probably about only 200 inhabitants, so it really was the least of all of Judah. I mean, you know you live in Podungville when you don't even make the map. But God says, out of Bethlehem is going to come the ruler. And that ruler is going to be the Son of God. I mentioned about all the elections and placing our hopes in that. You know, we can't place our hopes in a president or a Congress or judges or this or that. Because guess what? Does any political official ever deliver what they promise? No. Don't they all disappoint us somehow? See, that's why I got to be emperor, because I'll take care of you all. They all disappoint. The one ruler who won't disappoint is the one coming out of Bethlehem. He won't disappoint. Imagine if you're a coach for a football team. You've got one last play to win the game. Who do you want in there as quarterback? Mr. Squirrely guy who jumps up and down, kind of gets confused real easily and sometimes throws the ball quite erratically. That sounds like most of the Lions quarterbacks. Or do you want the guy who's cool, calm, and collected as quarterback? Obviously, the second one. Or when you go into surgery, the last thing you want to hear is, oh, I've always been waiting to do this surgery. Hopefully this one's successful. The one that operated on my neck. You know what that anesthesiologist said to me just as he's going to gas me? He says, you're the Lutheran pastor. I says, yes. He goes, I'm Catholic. Good night. You don't want the rookie doctor. You want the very best to take care of you. If you look at Jesus at the cross, he was very calm. He wasn't hollering out, screaming. Because he was in control not only of his own emotions, he was in control of the event itself, and he knew the outcome. So you think about that. When Christ goes to the cross, he knows the problem. He knew the solution, and he delivered exactly as promised. And we want him in control at all times. Sometimes we don't always let him be in control because, after all, don't I know better? I think that's always funny. I think I know better. Really? I'm going to question the God who created the universe and keeps it all moving in the correct order and everything else, and I'm going to say to him, okay, God, you got your plan, but mine is better. No, we want him in control. Micah 5:3 tells us, therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Micah's predicting that Israel's going to get scattered throughout the world, and the nation's going to be, though, restored. And Micah saw this. The ruler's going to come, and the nation's going to be restored. We're not talking about the physical land of Israel. God brings all of his people together. The Jewish believers, all the Gentile believers, he brings them together and establishes a new people. So what do you think old Israel did when their great ruler that they were expecting to come for centuries actually arrived? Did they accept him or reject him? Yeah, before we get too harsh on them, guess what? A whole lot of people, Gentiles, I mean, rejected him too. They didn't put their trust in him to take care of them individually. There's a story of a doctor who was going to operate on this little 8-year-old boy who needed this life-saving surgery. And the doctor's talking to him, calming him down, asking him if he has any questions. And the little boy hands the surgeon his teddy bear and says, it's got a rip, can you fix it? Great, renowned surgeon gets handed a teddy bear and is asked to fix it. Well, the surgeon says, yes, I can do that. And he put a mask on, put the blue surgical gloves on, and got a needle out, some of the sutures, and sewed it right up in front of the little boy and says, as I've taken care of this bear, I'm going to take care of you. Family was amazed that this renowned surgeon would care enough about one little boy's comfort to pay attention to him. Jesus fixes our brokenness. Sorry, I got trouble saying that. Broken. How we be broken. See? Detroit English is clearer than real English. All right. He fixes us when we're broken. Now, do we trust him to take care of us? Hopefully, we do. And we trust him to take care of us. We're going to trust him to secure us. In Micah verse 4 there, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. This promised ruler is going to reign to all four corners of the earth. Everyone can now dwell securely. Now, Israel had had all these other kings, and do you think any of the kings said on their coronation day, basically I'm going to raise your taxes, enslave you, I'm going to sell a few of you to slavery and overseas. I'm just going to bloody well make your lives miserable. No, every one of them got up there and made these great promises. Back in Micah chapter 3, two chapters before, it talks about the rulers. It says they detest justice, make crooked what is straight, build Zion with blood, and give a judgment for a bribe. And Micah's saying you got a whole different ruler coming now. This is a ruler who's going to shepherd his people. He uses that whole shepherd analogy, feeding and leading to safety. In John 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not only are we going to have this ruler who's going to take care of us, but we're also going to have one that takes on the very wrath of God himself. Christ accepted that for us. I mean, do we have any other person we can think of who would take the full wrath of the world onto him? Probably not. Micah 5:5 says, "And he shall be their peace." See, between tomorrow and then Tuesday morning, Christmas Day, we're going to hear that word peace a lot. The angels always come, "Peace be with you." The Hebrew word for that is shalom. And it's more than just calm down, I got it. Shalom has that idea of it's a place of well-being where you can be completely at ease. You're whole. You have security and you have salvation. See, that is a much nicer peace. I don't know what you think of when I hear the word peace. I think of pie. But the word shalom has this much richer meaning. It is that complete calmness. Have you ever felt complete calmness in your life? Where you know, oh. It's only happened a couple of times to me. One of which was when we were on that cruise, looking at the moon out there. That was like, this is peace. And he's promising a peace much greater than that. In Matthew 1, verse 20 to 21, the angel saying to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I like that. Do not be afraid. Same idea. Shalom. It's complete calmness. It's in God's hands. Now rest in that. I read something from a man named Tim Keller, and I have no idea who he is. But he gives the biblical concept, or explains the biblical concept of that shalom. He says, "If I threw 1,000 threads onto the table, they wouldn't be a fabric. They would be threads lying on top of each other. Threads become a fabric when each one has been woven over, under, around, and through every other one. The more interdependent they are, the more beautiful they are. The more interwoven they are, the stronger and warmer they are." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Jesus takes our broken world, remakes it so we have that peace that only God can give. And we see it begin then in the manger. So may the peace of God, which is above all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.